Welcome to the serial audiobook Alone, an unabridged podcast of Book 3 of the Generations Trilogy. Written by Scott Sigler. Performed by A. Kovacs. This novel is available in print as an ebook or as a full-length unabridged audiobook. For links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Audible, please visit scottsigler.com/alone. Hello, junkies. It is I, Scott Sigler, your erstwhile author and bountiful bouncing bass player, here to entertain you yet again. This is episode number 28 of Alone. After this, only 4 episodes left, and you know what that means. It means we're just over a month away from one of our world-famous barbecue-flavored Q&A episodes. After every podcast novel, and this is like our 19th or 20th full-length serialized audiobook, along with 4 novellas, we run a Q&A with all y'all listeners. So get your questions ready. You can ask about Alone, the Generations Trilogy, or anything to do with Siglerism. Email your question to info@emptyset.com. You can send text, or you can also record an MP3 of your question, which you would also email to info@emptyset.com. Now, if you haven't heard these before, we do it live! We record these live. I don't know the questions before the director of Doom plays them for me or reads them to me live. So you get my live reactions, complete with snarky comments and often flubs of historical data, because I'm not so good at that stuff. But it's a ton of fun, and we would love for you to get in on it. This week, I start the second draft of GFL Book 6. Hopefully, that will take about 3 months to complete. But who knows, we don't make promises anymore after we spend 11 years getting the first draft of Mount Fitzroy done and promising it to you pretty much every month for the first couple of years of that podcast. We don't make promises anymore, but hopefully it will take about 3 months. Who knows? We don't know. That's all the news for this week. Let me get you caught up on Alone, and then we're going to go whitewash a picket fence. Previously on Alone. After a crushing clash of memories, Matilda's overwrite of M is complete. Or is it? After a millennia of waiting, 2 separate people become a single entity. Who will that entity be? Find out next on Alone, episode number 28.
A stinging pain jolts me awake. I reach to slap it away, but my hands won't move. I'm bolted down.
Of course you're bolted down, stupid. How many times do you have to get stung in the neck before you realize it's just a needle?
It's not a snake biting me in the dark. I'm not trapped, waiting for a monster to come get me. Because I am the monster. Aren't I? No, I'm still me. And I am her. I am ancient. I feel young.
It worked. All my sacrifices, my plotting and planning. I have another chance. A chance to live my own life and not what others planned for me.
It worked. I'm still me. I remember waking up trapped in a coffin, meeting Spingate and the others. I remember the walking and the fighting and the laughter. So many years, so many centuries. My memories are fragments of a shattered vase, pieces all over, pieces missing. Was the human mind ever meant to exist this long? To soak up a millennium's worth of faces, names, places, experiences, feelings, sensations, emotions?
It worked. I beat that silly girl.
It worked. I beat that horrid old woman. My mind, it's splitting in 2. Who am I? I'm Matilda Savage.
No, I am not. No, you are not. No, we're not.
I'm M.
No, that's not who you are. M is gone, and you're not her.
I am no one. My scream, desperate, piercing,
born from a terrified ancient mind, driven by powerful young lungs. What is happening to me? The sound of machinery. My restraints snap away. Light, so bright it is blinding. M, calm down. The one voice I truly need to hear, Spingate, calling to me. I feel her hands on my wrists, firm but comforting. It's all right, she says. You're safe. Safe. That word again. The word of nothing. The word that doesn't exist. Teresa says I'm safe, but Teresa is dead. I had her killed because she betrayed me. How can she be talking to me now? She is a revenant come to drag me to hell. I try to fight her, but I'm still weak from the process. The process. It worked, it worked, it worked. It failed, it failed, it failed. Hands stronger than Teresa's slide under my arms, lift me up, hold me. M, relax. I have you now. Ramses. The only boy I've been intimate with. One lover of many. No. Ramses is dead. I saw him die. I saw me kill him during the fire in the observatory. I killed Ramses. So how is he holding me now? And O'Malley? I killed Kevin. My soul is tearing to pieces, cracking like the plaza stone when the grub rose. That thing M saw, the god of blood, can't be that, it can't be that. I told you, and you wouldn't listen. The god of blood has me, all parts of me. He's going to punish me for killing O'Malley and Yong, for all the rebels that died, for the butchery I did to my own people to show everyone on the Zolittle that I was the only way into the future, the way to life itself. Punish me for all the Springers I slaughtered, for the city I destroyed, for the wasps I shot and burned, for the... Shh, Ramses Bishop says. I have you now. Breathe. I breathe. My panic ebbs. I am not free of fear, but it no longer controls me. I open my eyes. I look upon the face of Ramses Bishop. He looks so young. I have you, my love, he says. His words are sweet like chocolate. I won't let anyone hurt you. No, he won't hurt me. It is I who will hurt him. A little bit at first, because he's young and the young have hope that life will turn out the way they want it rather than the way it actually does. Later, I know his hurt will be so much worse, so much more. Eventually, he will accept things. For now, though, I have to give him his first taste of pain. The first tiny tear in his big heart. I have you, Em, he says. I'll never let you go again. I'm not Em. His smile fades. Spingate steps into view. The fear that left me must have pounced on her. I see growing despair in her eyes. Yes, you are, she says. Just focus. I almost feel bad for these two young people, for these infants. They are beholden to their emotions, as they will be for many years to come. Behind them, another face steps into the light, a face that is black, wrinkled, and withered.
Hello, Matilda, Jason Yong says. I'm so happy to see you again.
His voice drips with malice. But the two children seem oblivious to the threat. Yong wants to kill me. He always has. Ever since the revolt, he's always wanted to be the leader. No, it's not me he wants to kill.
I'm not Matilda, I say.
I assume Young will think I'm lying because I've lied to him so many times before. But from the look on his gnarled face, I know he believes me. He's been my foe for centuries. He and that bastard, Victor. To think that old Victor and I used to date? The M part of me is aghast at the Matilda part.
Whoever you are,
Young says,
you have to finish the ritual.
He offers me a ceremonial knife. It's black. The hilt is decorated with two rings of rubies, one inside the other. O'Malley used a knife just like this to kill the older version of himself. And I used a knife just like it to kill O'Malley. He was still in there. Bishop snatches the blade away.
I'll do it, he says. M has been through enough.
Young reaches for the blade.
She has to do it herself. That's the ritual.
Bishop easily pushes the smaller grown-up away.
I said no. Don't test me, Young.
Past the foot of my coffin is the black X. A withered, sagging body. My body. Hangs limply, head down, wrists held by shackles. She's moaning softly. Not she. Me. Is that what I look like? No, what I used to look like. Now I am M. I am me. Matilda is gone. Not gone, right there, still alive. I am still alive, that evil bitch is still alive. But not for long. The ritual must be completed. I hold out my hand towards Bishop, palm up. He stares at it.
M, don't do this.
She has to,
Young says. Spingate grabs my wrist, tries to push it down.
M, Bishop is right. We'll vent her into space. You don't have to be the one.
I grab Teresa's wrist with my free hand and I squeeze. She snarls, thinking she can hold on, thinking she can resist me. But I squeeze tighter until her snarl shifts to a look of surprise, then pain. She lets go with a gasp. So much strength in this body. I haven't felt anything like it in 1,000 years.
The knife,
I say to Bishop.
I will do what must be done.
My words sound as cold as the void itself. I want this over with. Bishop glances at the knife. Then at my palm. Then he looks me in the eyes.
It is my right, I say.
He slaps the handle into my palm. My fingers close around it. I feel the weight. A small, weak voice calls out.
Help me, please.
Matilda. Me. I walk toward her. My steps are slow and awkward, yet stronger than they have been in a millennium. Matilda's head is still hung low. She's pulling at her shackles, weakly, making the chains rattle like a sad, small musical instrument.
Didn't work,
she says.
Gaston, damn it. You screwed it up.
I stop in front of her. Matilda's pitiful efforts cease. She's looking at my boots.
No,
she says. She slowly lifts her head. Even this small motion seems to take everything she's got. Her one good eye is pink. I am looking at Matilda. I am looking at myself. I am looking at a monster. I am a monster.
No,
she says.
I want to live.
She is an old woman, ancient and twisted. She did what she thought was right. I can't remember all of what happened to her, to us, to me. But I know she felt justified in every action. But was it her, or was it the god of blood? Was she corrupted, just like Aramovsky was? I was Matilda once. Maybe those memories will return someday. Maybe I'll know the answer.
It's not fair, she says. I want to live.
But even if Matilda was corrupted, she is responsible for the horrible things she did. Aramovsky had to pay. So does she. I touch her cheek. Gnarled skin that was mine a few moments ago feels wretched and vile to these young fingers. What does 1,000 years of agony sound like? It sounds like Matilda.
It didn't work, she says. Why didn't it work?
I almost feel bad for her.
It worked well enough. You knew what would happen. You knew one version of you would be chained here, knew that version would end. And you didn't care. So selfish, right to the end.
She finds the last of her strength, shakes her head hard enough to rattle the chains.
Let me go. If you kill me, you won't get the codes.
This is beyond confusing. My head spins in 12 directions. At my core, though, I know she and I can't both exist. I had a chance to kill Matilda once. I let her live. Look at the price of that choice.
You already gave Gaston the codes, remember?
Her one eye stares at me. It's redder now. She's slowly regaining her strength. She should die with a blade in the belly, in agony, like O'Malley did. But I can't bear to cause unnecessary suffering. It's time to do the humane thing. I put the point of the blade on her sternum. I expect firm resistance, but the bone beneath the coal black skin gives a little, as if her skeleton is spongy with rot.
I want to live, she says.
I nod.
And I want you to die.
The fingers of my right hand curl tighter around the hilt. My left palm cups the pommel. My strong young arms push the blade forward. It sinks in slowly, steel vanishing into blackness, blade hissing against skin until the crossguard thumps into her chest. There is no winner here, no loser. M earned a chance for her people. Matilda got her young body. Thick, red-gray blood drips down from Matilda's sternum, splatters onto the floor.
I hate you, she says.
I nod.
I know.
With that, I pull the blade free. I stand there and watch Matilda Savage bleed to death. When she stops twitching, I walk back to the golden coffin. Ramses and Teresa stare at me as if I am an alien thing. Yang simply watches, his feelings indiscernible.
You say you're not Matilda, he says, and you're not M either.
I shake my head. Bishop and Spingate exchange a glance. It's obvious they wish with all their tender hearts that I will suddenly wake up and declare, I was wrong. I'm your little friend. I'm M. But that will never happen. Yong's red eyes swirl. How I hate it looking through eyes just like those, the way they let me see so many things and yet made everything different. I hated that body, too. So ugly. In the first few centuries, we called our bodies pain suits, a joke meant to help us cope with the constant state of agony. But I don't hurt now. Not at all. It has been so long since I was without pain that being without it, feeling normal, seems maddeningly strange. My memories roil and clash. They combine to make me recall things that I know never happened. Tiny shards of reality, like small islands in an endless haze of gray.
If you're not Matilda,
Yang says,
and you're not M, then who are you?
parts of me are a woman older than even this ship. A woman who has done unspeakable things, who lost friends, who lost lovers. A woman who can't remember the face of her father because he's been dead 1,000 years. Parts of me are a girl, barely past the age of 12, who was thrust into a position with demands far beyond her years. A violent girl who fought and clawed, who learned to be devious because that was the only way she and her friends could survive. A girl who would not stop, no matter what the odds. Two identities, two completely different people. And yet, both identities are unified in one key area. Because both did the things that had to be done. And in that commonality, I coalesce. I unify as the myriad shards meld together, lock into place like the pieces of puzzles that I am so good at solving. Brewer warned that the longer M was awake, forming her own memories and mental connections, the less likely the overwrite process would work. O'Malley was still in there. Some of Bella was as well. But M was her own person for far longer than those two, and her intellect was too well developed to destroy. Instead of being overwritten, she and Matilda fused, their identities and experiences coalescing into one individual. An altogether new person. Brewer, my childhood friend. I called him by his first name back then. I called him Bashar. He had a name for me as well. I am not M. I am not Matilda. I am neither. I am both. I am something new. Maddie, I say. My name is Maddie. Ramses, Teresa, and Jason stare at me. The kids are crushed. They think they've lost someone they love. Yang looks not elated exactly, but so hopeful. I'm sure he's wondering if I'll unite all the people and lead us against the wasps. The multiple parts of me are talking to each other, comparing notes, seeing the connections that everyone else missed, that we both missed. I'm not M. I'm not Matilda. But one thing has not changed. I will do what must be done. Ramses, darling dear, do something with this knife, I say. We don't have much time, and I need to plan.
That was Alone, episode number 28. So Matilda didn't win, neither did M. They are both gone, and yet both still there. A new entity is there in place of both women. So I ask you, Junkie, did you see that coming? Did you know that was going to happen in the plot? Do you feel like M is gone? Is she dead in your eyes? Have you lost a character, or is it the same character modified? I would really love to know how this episode made you feel. So comment over at scottsigler.com on the post for Alone episode number 28, or just respond to me at Twitter, where I am at Scott Sigler, one word, or respond anywhere else online that you see me. I'd love to know your thoughts. Next week, Matilda, who is still alive, faces the worst of all outcomes. Come on back for episode number 29 of Alone. And until then, we will talk to you all real soon.
You have been listening to Alone, Book 3 in the Generations Trilogy. Written by Scott Sigler. Performed by A. Kovacs. Produced by Scott Sigler and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. Follow Scott on Twitter and Instagram, where his handle is at Scott Sigler, S-C-O-T-T-S-I-G-L-E-R, one word, or join our Facebook group at facebook.com/Scott Sigler. Theme music is the song Unseen Horrors by Kevin MacLeod.